Okay, this is class, it's Teachers That Touch Lives, a look at the teacher. My name is Christina McConnell. I'm the Child Evangelism Fellowship of Southern California, Greater Long Beach Chapter. If you think that's a mouthful, my name is Christina Rodriguez Mencias McConnell. Try signing that on a little line. So, think of a favorite teacher you've had. What was it about that teacher that stands out in your memory? It probably wasn't what the teacher taught you, but what you remember about that teacher. I'm going to take a second.
That's okay.
What kind of teacher does it take to touch lives for eternity? I handed you some slips that have blights on them. If you would add your name in there, and just for the sake, so I can. Later when I read it, I can. Number one. One that has number one. Slip number one.
Me.
Do you have any extras?
Yes.
Is this the number one?
Can I read it out loud?
No.
The little one that was up, so I didn't get that.
Okay, gorgeous. It's a skip.
No, you're number four.
No, I have. So I have number one. Do I read it out?
Okay, please.
My name is Rosie, and I am 8 years old. I go to Sunday school every week. My mommy and daddy take me.
Okay. Number two.
I'm Charlene, and I love to sing. I know all the words to Jesus Loves Me, and lots of other songs, too. Want to hear one? I'm not going to sing.
Oh.
Jesus
number three.
Loves me.
Okay.
This I know. Okay, that's
for
enough.
The Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong.
And
I take it home.
Yes,
Jesus loves me. Thank you.
And I'm 6 years old.
And you're 6 years old. Okay. You're a good singer. Number three.
Right here. Who's, if it's a boy, do we put our name in it?
It's okay.
Okay.
I like Sunday school because of the Bible stories. I really like the one about David who killed the giant. It's my favorite. My name is Joyce.
My name is Joe.
Joe.
There you go.
And I'm 10.
Okay. Number four.
My name is Pat, and I know 200 Bible verses by heart. I can say John 3:16 and Psalms 23. I want a scholarship to camp because I know so many. Want to hear one? I'm 9 years old.
Okay, good job. And number five.
My mom makes me go to church every Sunday, but I don't get anything out of it. I wish I didn't have to go, but I have to go. Anyway, once in a while we play games, and I like that part. My name is Elizabeth, and I'm 11.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Does it sound like some of the children that you're teaching? Mm-hmm. Christian educator is defined as training or teaching is a process by which the behavior of one person is changed into conformity with the standard exemplified by another. That's the dictionary version. Also to impart knowledge or skill, to cause to learn, by example or experience. This is what they're saying, this is teaching. This is what a teacher is. And the combination is teaching is a process designed to change the knowledge, skill, and behavior of the learner as a result of the example of experience of the teacher. The master teacher, Jesus Christ, is a standard and example for the Christian teacher and teaching. That's a mouthful, isn't it? So you have those underlying words are your feelings. So what does all that mean? That teaching, being a teacher is being an example. Boom. And we're going to share with them our skill, our knowledge, our understanding, our experience. And we're going to pray that the skills and behavior is going to be changed. Who has given us the example? Christ has given us the example. He set the standard. And so we are to follow that example. Teaching is from the heart, not the head. Teaching is looking, it's listening, It's learning, loving. Teaching is looking and seeing, listening and hearing, learning and responding, loving and reaching. To every child who lives, laughs, and loves within our lives. God gave us the command to teach the children all the time. Maybe he didn't say all the time, but did he say while we walk along the way, while we sit, when we lie down? It doesn't say stay on your text and they'll learn. Give them a computer and they'll learn from that. No, he tells us to do it ourselves. He says the children, our children. He says in his word not to hinder them, that if we hinder them, that we cause them to stumble, even a little bit, we're in big trouble.
Yes.
What happens? It'd be better if a big rock was around our neck and we were in the ocean. Paraphrase. We have that charge from Christ, from God himself, towards the children. He loves the children. It's not just a song. It's the truth. He loves us. He used them as examples. He watched them and used them as illustrations to the grown-ups to do as the little children. According to our definition, true teaching involves change. Let's go through these scriptures. Leviticus 11:44. Who has Leviticus 11:44?
For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves there and be holy, for I am holy.
Be holy because he is holy. So we as a teacher needs to be holy. Need to be holy. Yes, as a Christian, that's what God wants of us. As a teacher who's imparting this to the children as an example, we need to be mindful of that. How much more so is our... I don't want to say punishment, but well, we'd be called upon for what we did with those children, right? 2 Corinthians 3:18.
But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit.
So we're changing day by day, moment by moment. The children are changing moment by moment. Just like some days you may not see any change in me. I may look the same as I did way back. Hopefully not, but I'm not going to say arrived, because that's when you'll find that I'm not. Then neither are the children. So we don't want to look at them, expect, yes, our heart's desire is they would be changed, that they are being changed moment by moment. But because we don't see that, doesn't mean it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
We have to continue to be that example. We need to continue to love those children in gentleness, in kindness, even the difficult ones. 2 Timothy 3:17.
So that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work.
Equipped. That's what you're doing here today. But we also need to be equipped when we stand before those children. We need to have been prepared, not hours ago, but a week, started to be being prepared a week ago, praying, asking God to show us what that lesson is that he has for us, that we can be changed, so that we can have a clear understanding of what he would have us to teach to the children, and what he has for the children. And that's not that it can't happen in a moment's notice. We want that word to be digging in us. We want to be digging in God's word, and we want him to be digging into our hearts so that we can be prepared before the children when we stand in front of them and be able to deal with the difficult ones, be able to love on those ones that are giving you the look. or have had a very bad day. Maybe you've had a very bad day. But if you have been being washed in that word, and you have been being prepared, it's not going to come to us as a surprise for you, and you're going to be able to deal with that a little bit easier. If we're jumping, and life has us hopping from one thing to the next, I know that. But we have the privilege of being called teachers. We have the desire to touch their lives with the Word of God for life changing, for eternity. And it's going to make, you're going to need to have that extra, that little extra effort to be able to stand before them and be able to deal with difficult children gently, lovingly, kindly. The same way that we want Jesus to deal with us.
Yes.
The same way we want our peers to deal with us. We don't want somebody snapping at us. We surely don't want somebody grabbing us by the arm and taking us out. And we should not be doing that. Galatians 4:19.
My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you.
I want to say it. I'm having a hard time focusing because I want to say it.
You want to rock out?
Yeah, I want to rock out. See, I told you that. God is working on me. I'm being formed. Romans 8:29. To be conformed to the image of his son. So all of these verses God gives us, these key verses, are to define the purpose of Christian teaching, for our teaching. But also, not just for what we're doing for the children, all of this has to come first within us. It has to come through us. It has to be done in us. And that's not going to happen without some effort on our part. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen because we know that God can do anything, everything, all things. So please don't take it that way. What I'm saying is we need to be mindful of being prepared to interact with the children. Who has had a bad day with children? Who has ever had a bad day with children? You have, what have they done? What's the worst thing that's been done to you by a child?
Oh, they just don't listen. Some of them, and I don't want to just blame it on this, but some of the kids are on medications.
Okay.
And they just get totally out of hand sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else? I've been kicked and I've been bitten.
Oh my God.
Mm. That was by my own child. No, I'm just
kidding.
That's
the case.
And you, oh, that hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be prepared to respond to that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that the children are waiting to abuse us. I'm not saying that, but we have to be prepared for whatever is going to happen in any given situation. Yes, we cannot foretell the future, but we need to be prayed up. Our hearts need to be right. They have to be turned towards God, to the Lord Jesus, the whole, all the way, not just part way. Okay, this part is, and this part is not. He kicked me on my left, on my right leg. That's a good thing, because that part of my heart was turned towards God. But it got me on my left. We need to be fully committed to our Lord in what he has called us to do. No half-stepping. The best description of overall purpose of Christian teaching is teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Mm-hmm. Perfect meaning mature. That's Colossians 1:28. The goal and purpose of Christian teaching is that every person might be mature in Christ. So not only just the children we're looking for to be mature in Christ, but also for ourselves. God wants to do that work. Whatever we're teaching those children, the theme of that, or that Bible lesson, or God has something for us. It's like we know that we don't read the Bible one time, and I read the whole Bible, I'm done. I have to read it again, right? No, we go back and read it because he's going to do a new work in us. Mm-hmm. And he's going to show us something different. And so we can't look at a passage and say, oh yeah, it's David and Goliath. David and Goliath, I know that one. I'll just skim. I'll just read my text and I'll be good. Let's go to Disneyland. We have to look at it fresh, even though we know it. Because the kids are going to say, oh, David and Goliath again. But, well, you didn't hear it from me. You might have. Miss Susie taught that last week. But I didn't. I have something new for you. We want to encourage them. Because you're going to be a little discouraged when they go, or when you get your text and you go, David and Goliath again. God has something new for us. Every day, we know that His mercies are new every day. What He has for us is new every day, even moment by moment. What I thought I knew 2 hours ago, He shows me along the way is better. He has better. To reach that goal, what does a child have to do? What does a teacher have to do? We need to present God's word to the children and realize that the Holy Spirit is going to do the work. He is the one that grows the seed up out of the ground. We plant the seeds, but He grows it. He brings the fruit. Not us. We just need to be diligent in what we've been called, which is to scatter the seeds. Where does the child teacher begin? Realize that the child needs salvation. So often I've heard teachers say, maybe their Sunday school teachers, they say, I don't give an invitation because I know all my kids are saved. Mm-hmm. I have leader kids, they're all saved. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't assume that. We don't know the day. The Bible tells us that today is a day of salvation. But for each child, today, it's a different. That doesn't mean today. That means they each have their day. It may be when they're drawing their last breath. We don't know. But our call is to share that true word of God, to share that message of salvation. The children, they need new life before they can grow in the grace and knowledge of God. They need to have that new life. They need to. We can't grow a spiritually dead child, one that hasn't become alive in Christ yet. We can't get them to do Christian things or have Christian behavior. We can't expect that from children. And that's our part. That's where we come in. God uses us for that, to share with them that love. Even children that have been in the church. I've met many grown people that have said, I was raised in the church. Oh, I don't go to church. I was raised in the church. Okay, then you didn't receive Christ because you would not be saying that I don't need to go to church. We need to be in fellowship. The Bible tells us we need to be in fellowship. So don't assume is what I'm saying. I'm not pointing a finger at anyone in particular or anybody's relative in particular like my own. But we need to share that love. We need to share. And I know our families are the hardest, right?
Yes.
Here they come. When they see us coming, they... Oh, yeah, okay, I gotta go. So we're gonna show them God's love. Maybe not with the words of salvation, but in the actions of salvation. That God has touched our lives. God has changed our lives, touched our heart, lives within us, led by the Holy Spirit, and we're gonna love them anyway. Just the way they are, right? We don't have to like what they're doing or like how they are, but we're gonna love them. And so that's the same thing with the children. They're going to grow bit by bit. Try to discern where a child is in his walk and let him progress from that point. Because you've been teaching him all along. I've had you for 5 years. Why are you still behaving that way? I've known you since the first grade. That doesn't mean they receive Christ or that they're walking in Christ or that they understand all of the precepts. None of us understand everything perfectly. But we need to give it to them. That's what we're there for. And sometimes it might just be just showing them God's love. But we want to be prepared. We want to encourage them. We want to show them God's love, even by the way we look at them. Not when you see them coming. They come, and you want to be the one. We want to look at them with eyes that we want the way God, we want God to look at us. Change takes place as the Christian matures, and it's the same for the child. Desire that they grow. Mm-hmm. Your desire that they would be, so you're going to give them the full message of God, the full counsel, and they're going to want to start growing. Children, and I don't know if I said this earlier, children first love their teacher, then they love their teacher's Bible, then they love their teacher's God. Mm-hmm. Of course, all the while we're pointing them to Christ, then they love Christ. Yeah, it would be that we would teach them and they would love Jesus. But there's going to be something in you that they're going to like first. That's going to draw them back to class. That's just how it is. That's how children are. Don't you like to be around people that are kind to you?
Yes.
That are nice to you?
Yes.
That look forward to seeing you? That tell you, I'm glad you're here. I really mean it?
Yes.
They need that too. How much more so do they need it? How important is a teacher? Philippians 4:9 gives us some insight. Does anybody have Philippians 4:9? So Paul says, do the things that you've seen in me. You do them too. Paraphrased. Because a child has no one else to teach him God's word, often the teacher stands between the child and the voice of God. You are that sermon in shoes. Your personality and your life are key to your Christian teaching. The child is one from whom, through whom, and with whom pupils learn. The single most important factor that influences learning is the life and personality of the teacher. We may not want to believe, see that, but for children, that's how it is. They're going to be focused on you. They're going to see you. The teacher may teach a little by what he says, but he teaches more by what he does, but most by what he is. You are that child of God. You are those loving eyes of God. You are that gentle hand of God. And you may be the only gentle hand that they have all week, or the only gentle voice they hear. You don't know what their true home life is, or their brothers and sisters, or their teacher, or whatever it is. You may be it. We go to the divine teacher for inspiration, for validation. We go to Christ. And whether we like it or not, the children are looking at us. Of course, we're going to give them that, but we're always pointing them to Christ. They're going to come and tell you their problems. And in God's perfect time, they will begin to realize that God is the one that can solve all their problems. And even as you're listening to the problem, you're pointing them to Christ. I'm sorry that happened to you. Let's pray and ask God to help you with that. Let's pray and ask God to help you change your attitude when somebody treats you wrong. Teaching is a privilege, and it's a responsibility. It's a great responsibility. Teaching responsibility to learn, to discern the needs of others, to discern needs, to live the lessons, to be a leader, to be a learner, and a listener, to depend completely upon the Holy Spirit for his enabling, to be true to the Word of God, and to take seriously the position of teacher. Let me get this right. I went through all this. Teacher's confidence must be in the Lord alone. It'll show your personal appearance, that you're neatly groomed and dressed suitably for the occasion. What does that mean? To some, different people means different things. As a teacher, as a leader of a ministry, I ask my teachers if they're teaching, wear a skirt. Why is that? Who wears skirts anymore? I don't know, but I still here I am in a skirt. I want to show my best to you. If I came in and ripped jeans, not that there's anything wrong with ripped jeans, except when you buy them that way. That's the whole issue. Would you think I'm taking what I'm doing as seriously enough to wear my best? I don't know. That's a personal preference. But we want to show the children our best. Doesn't mean that I'm any less a teacher if I have ripped jeans or if I have a skirt. This might just be camouflage. It doesn't mean I'm any less a teacher, but be mindful of your personal appearance. It shows in the way you stand as you present God's word. Are you standing tall? Because God's word is mighty. It says good posture means good control. That means you can project. I'm thinking that's what it means, you can project longer. Either way, the children are looking at you. Whether we want to admit it or not, whether we like it or not, they're looking at you. And they're going to like you first. They're going to like you best for a time. Of course, we're always pointing them to Jesus. There we go. Teacher needs a good attitude toward himself, the children, and the literature he's using. I've gone to trainings where the teacher says, I don't really like this lesson, but here it is. Well, I already don't like it either. Thank you very much. I know we've already taught this lesson, but I'm going to teach it to you again. Going back to David and Goliath. Or as one teacher told me, not creation again. Yes, creation again. Teacher's qualities and characteristics can be used for the teacher. We're going to go with this acrostic for teachers. They need to be teachable, enthusiastic, approachable, consecrated, honest. Even if it's honest about our own teaching. Oftentimes, so I'm not going to say every time, but you may be having discipline problems, and it could be because of your presentation, or you didn't prepare long enough, or you're not going that extra distance to make it God's word exciting, and it has become ho-hum, or humdrum. I'm not sure which one applies, but both of them. Recognize that. Be honest with yourself, because the kids will surely be honest with you.
Amen.
And we want them to be hungry for God's word. So we have to be hungry for God's word. Enduring, ready, and sensitive. Sensitive to the Holy Spirit, sensitive to the hearts of the children, sensitive to who they are, where they are, and what's going on in their lives. Is that my alarm? Tell me where you're at. Just pray for me. Let's take a minute to just be still and ask God, using this acrostic, ask him for two things in this acrostic for yourself. Father, we thank you that for the two things that we asked you today, two things were asked you tomorrow, and so forth. Thank you that you're going to open, continue to open your word to us. You're going to continue to show us how we can do our part to share your truth, that the children will be changed. We recognize that we are but the soul. We sprinkle. You give the increase. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Can you get this to your side? See, I'll be working again. You can pass that to Jocelyn. Who likes to be told they did a good job? I do. Sure, everyone likes to be told that they did a good job. Babe. Not when you did it, because you know when you did it. But here's 99 ways to say very good.
I have something else.
99 ways. So let's say, somebody pick one. Let's go down the row and pick one. Rosie, can you tell me one? I'll just take it like you're saying it to me, and that'll be okay.
You figured that out fast.
How about you? We're going to go down the road.
You've got it made.
You got it made.
Nothing can stop you now.
There you go.
I'm proud of the way you work today.
Good.
You are doing that much better today.
Good. Okay, Joyce?
I've never seen anyone do it better.
Wow.
Couldn't you remember it? Oh, sorry. Couldn't have done it better myself.
There you go.
Outstanding.
Outstanding. Jocelyn?
Good going.
Good going.
Oh, you make that look easy.
These clearly have to be updated.
You certainly did well today.
Couldn't have done it better myself.
Okay.
You outdid yourself today.
Now that's what I call a fine job.
That's the one I use. These are ways to encourage the children. 99 ways, 99 tips. Yeah, you might have better ones, but this is all there tidy in a little page. We talked about those children at the beginning. Rosie, you are 8 years old. Such a cute little girl. You went to school, Sunday school every week when you were 8. Your mommy and your daddy took you. Now we've been in a time machine for 36 years, and we're 36 years in the future. You're now 44 years old. You have 3 children, married an unsaved man, who left her for another woman. She worked very hard to pay the bills. She has no relationship whatsoever with the church. So how they start out may not be how they end. And number 2. Who had number 2? You. Charlene?
Yes.
You love to sing, and you sang chorus, and I appreciated that. And you were only 6. You became very respected in society. In fact, the governor of the state. Mm-hmm. Politician. And your moral life is very good. You don't have time for God. And number 3, like Sunday school because of the Bible stories. That was you. And you were 10 years old. Especially David, who killed the giant. That's where I got David and Goliath. That's stuck in my head. You're now atheist. And because, 36 later, you're atheist. And because he's such an extrovert, tends to push his religious philosophy on everybody else. He has already convinced several people, including children, that God does not exist. Mm-hmm. Number 4 was you knew 200 Bible verses, yes, by heart, and you won a scholarship to camp. You're now a public school teacher, good position, and a beautiful family of 4 children. As she teaches her classes, she is instilling the humanistic philosophy in her students. There's no doubt in her mind that this is a correct teaching for the children of modern day times. And who was being taken to school even though they church, even though they didn't want to go? 11 years old, but you like to play the games. Is now a drug addict. 36 years later, as a teenager, began to run around with kids who were not a good influence on her and followed the way of the world. Now she's hooked on drugs and does everything she can to get the pay, get the money to support her habit. Why did I make these horrible stories for such nice little kids? The importance of conversion. Be mindful of sharing God's truth, of sharing the message of salvation, of giving the invitation, making it count. Be a teacher that touched lives. Being kind, being gentle, but also giving the true word of God, that message of salvation. It doesn't change. It stays the same, always the same. God's word doesn't change. Can you pass me that? There I go again. Boy, I put you to work, huh? Am I going to have to pay you? This is a wordless book. Leading a child to Christ. Who knows that leading a child, how to lead a child? The wordless book. Who knows the wordless book? Let me see your hands. Okay, because I'm going to bring you up here to recite. Just kidding.
I know that song too.
Well, let's hear it. No. Thank you. The wordless book are five colors that help present the message of salvation. Gold reminds us of heaven, the perfect place where God is. God is holy. He's never done anything wrong. He made us. Not just you and me, not the rocks and the trees. The Bible says God so loved the world. He made us, and he loves us. And he wants us to be with him when we're in heaven. But we have a problem. Because heaven is a perfect place, and God is perfect, he's never done anything wrong. Our problem is that we have done wrong things. The Bible says that we were born with a want to do wrong things. Those wrong things are called sin. And sin has to be punished. That means we're separated from God. We can't be with him in heaven. But because he loves us so very much, he made a way that we could be with him one day. That was to send his one and only perfect son, Jesus, to take the punishment for our sin. Because I said sin has to be punished. And that made us separate from God. Jesus willingly took that punishment. He died on the cross. He was buried. But he didn't stay dead. He came back alive. And he's in heaven now making a place for you. You have the choice to believe that Jesus died on the cross and came back alive. And to ask him to forgive your sins. If you ask him to forgive your sins and you truly believe that he died on the cross and came back alive, he will. And you can be with him one day in heaven. But until then, you can be the child of God. Part of God's forever family. But until then, he wants you to grow. And the way they would grow is by praying, reading our Bible, and obeying, by going to church, and by telling others that Jesus loves them and wants to forgive their sins too. There may be days when you still do wrong things. God will forgive you. Tell him. If you lie to your mom, what can you tell God? Tell Jesus. I lied to my mom. Please forgive me and help me not do it again. The Bible says that Jesus said, I will never leave you. Say, put your name there. Jesus said, I will never leave Christina. That's a promise that we can hold on to. Jesus said, I will be your helper. Another promise that he made us that we can hold on tight to. And with that, we can be strong to walk God's way and grow. Thank you all for being here.